This is KUT. The way Texas pays for public schools can be tricky to wrap your head around, so KUT's Clara McInerney is trying to explain it by answering listener questions about that funding system. Today, we start our series with a question from an Austin ISD parent who wants to be more proactive.
It's a pretty chill morning here at Emily Harrington's house in Northwest Austin. Her two daughters, Laurel, who's 3, and Penley, who's 7, are playing with their new kittens in the living room. This is a fairly new house for the family.
I've lived in Austin for the last 2.5 years, but that will be the second time I've moved back to Austin. My family's been in Austin for almost 40 years, I think. My parents live here.
Emily's oldest daughter, Penley, is going into second grade at Blanton Elementary in the fall. Now that one of her kids is in the public school system, Harrington is thinking about where that school is getting money.
And it's like we're just scraping together everything we can to help the school. And like, what's going on? And we pay some. Our property taxes are insane, so it just seems like, okay, there's something going on. It's not working. How do we fix this?
So she wrote us and asked, what policies need to be changed to update the school funding system in Texas?
And so I want to understand what's going on so that I can make sure I make informed choices during election time to elect the people who actually know how to make changes, like real changes, and not just like band-aids trying to fix the problem.
So I set out to find some school finance experts who could point to specific policies that could realistically be changed. That's how I met this guy.
My name is Josh Sanderson. I am the Deputy Executive Director of the Equity Center.
The Equity Center is a nonprofit lobbying group. Its goal is to make school funding more equitable across the state. I posed Emily's question to Sanderson, and he said,
the legislature has a variety of existing practices, policies, laws that they can go in and potentially amend or delete.
He identified 3 policies that Emily could ask her representatives to address. The first is something called the high school allotment. Sanderson says it's a pool of about $380 million that's supposed to help curb dropout rates. But he says this money isn't being used efficiently because schools get this money based on their enrollment.
Well, if you think about how it applies, since you fund it based on an enrollment basis per student, a school with no or little dropout problem would receive more money than a school with a high dropout problem.
Because they have fewer kids dropping out. Now, it can be used for other high school programs, like career and technical education, but Sanderson suggests just putting the money into the general education fund so more kids have access to it and not just high schoolers. This second thing Emily could ask her state reps, adjust how we calculate how much money it costs to educate each student. School finance wonks call these weights. Here's what that means. The state assigns every child a dollar amount based on their needs. Kids living in poverty or learning English cost more to educate, but the funding formula doesn't reflect the real cost of educating kids with different needs, says Nicole Conley Johnson. She's the chief financial officer for Austin ISD.
Well, I would say one, it just hasn't kept pace.
These weights were determined in the 80s, so we're educating kids based on what it cost a few decades ago. It's like getting an allowance for gas based on gas prices from 25 years ago. So updating this equation is something a lot of people, including Conley Johnson, advocate for.
If the weights were updated to reflect the cost of education today, if some of the indexes and some of the elements of the funding formula were adjusted, I think that everybody would be in a far greater place.
The last policy Sanderson suggests the legislature address is called Hold Harmless. Sanderson says it's another one that's really outdated. It has to do with something called recapture. That's the law that says school districts with a lot of property tax money, like Austin, have to give some of their money to fund poorer school districts. When the legislature started recapture in 1993, they gave a few wealthy school districts a pass. They didn't have to contribute as much. And it was supposed to be phased out after a couple of years. But then, Sanderson says,
and then because of political reasons, it was just enacted so that it stayed in place and never went away. Mm-hmm. Well, we are, 25 years down the road, and it's still there, essentially artificially propping up about 30 school districts.
It means some school districts aren't paying as much as they should. So while places like Austin send more than half of their property taxes back to the state, the wealthy Dallas suburb of Highland Park doesn't. So Sanderson argues, just get rid of this rule.
The only way we'll ever fund everyone fairly is if everybody is in the same boat. If everybody has their little niche carved out, then they're going to fight to preserve that niche rather than fight to increase revenue for all schools, for all children.
Kitty!
I took all of this back to Emily's house, where her kids were playing with their new kittens and she was making lunch.
You guys making grilled cheese?
I explained Sanderson's three policies while she took notes. And the one she was especially troubled by was hold harmless.
That's crazy. And so the fact that they have weaseled their way out of it makes me really angry. No wonder there's disparity.
So I asked her, now that she has this information, what's she going to do?
I mean, that's, you have to get in touch with the right people and be like, listen, I have connections with a lot of PTAs. The entire East Austin community is connected to these schools over here. So if you want to have political support, you got to make some changes here.
The legislative session begins in January. Maybe we'll see Emily at the Capitol. Claire McInerney, KUT News.